like Mount Rushmore shows and stupid poll questions, you've chosen the wrong sports radio show. Expect more. Live from Atlanta, it's the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Check out our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. We appreciate them being a part of the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. I also appreciate my fine producer, Anthony Pierno, who we will have the premiere of my luscious locks later on this hour. Luscious locks being a play off my spectacular hair. The luscious locks, and I have instituted a new policy, Anthony. The last 2 years, I have fallen into deep holes and dug myself out of them by the end of the year. But I am saying I'm not going to. If I fall six games below 500, the luscious locks goes away.
You can't do that.
Why?
That is so weak, and it looks so pathetic on your part.
Okay,
you're,
I don't want to be
giving
weak.
Up.
Okay, I don't want to look. And I've shown you the last 2 years. I've started out like garbage,
and you
like
can rebound. Garbage.
And
you
and
rebounded.
I can rebound. Okay. All right, we'll try. It'll be a luscious locks a little bit later on this hour. Got to think of a good hair song. And believe me, I don't do pick segments. I know in sports radio, pick segments are very big things. And I'll hear guys go on for like 20 minutes doing their picks. I'm like, look, pick segments on our show is like a 90-second music bed. I can do my picks, give you three picks, and be in and be out. Because I'm not that good at it. Like most hosts in the United States on sports radio. JK Show, CBS Sports Radio. If you're listening on your great CBS Sports Radio affiliates, we love them all. If your your local station cuts away for the hunting and fishing show or something, or there was the one station that carries the show that has like a trading show where people trade stuff. Whatever it is you cut away for, you can listen on the radio.com app, and you can even rewind and find out stuff that you might have slept through. So check it on out. We get started in this hour of the show. A lot of people want to get in on the phone lines at 855-212-4CBS, and we will do that. We've had a lot of lively discussion this morning, very lively. Anthony, in a matter of 2 weeks, we've had the gentleman last week that totally set me off telling me America doesn't deserve sports.
And now this week, we have Tony Orlando creating a lot of
buzz. My white privilege. As he was lecturing me as another white man, he was lecturing me on my white privilege. And I said to Tony, what do you know about me? Well, I know as a white man, I'm saying, no. What do you know about me, Tony? Can you tell me about my privilege? Can you tell me? Stop using your buzz terms that you learned in sociology class and tell me. Do I know that I've had it easier than some people in America? Absolutely, I have. Do I know that I've had it far tougher than a lot of people in America? Yeah, I know that I have. Do I know that I can't judge someone based on the color of their skin as to what kind of privileged upbringing have they had? What kind of privilege are they doing? Give me a break. It's not sociology class. I love the fact that we've got a very diverse audience and a very fun audience that gets involved in the show. First Sunday of the NFL, and I can't wait to talk about it with you. We've been talking about it all morning. We'll talk more coming up here, but I wanted to get to Daryl in Jackson, Mississippi. Daryl, you're on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Daryl, and thank you for holding on, buddy.
All right. So glad to be a part of this conversation this morning. Enjoying your show so far.
Thank you, man.
Kudos to Tony Orlando Tony in Florida.
Tony in Orlando, yes.
And here's the thing. How about we throw out some solutions? And so that's what I'm attempting to do this morning. Give
do
a
that.
Solution. Okay.
Yes.
Instead of getting mad at the people locking arms and walking on the field, why don't we call our congressman, tell him put a law on the books, makes it illegal for him to kill people with the badge on. So the worst thing that they get is a paid leave. But if we go ahead and have them put this law on the books and police know they can be prosecuted, then guess what? Problem goes away. Now,
well, you know, by the way,
football.
Wait, hold on a minute. Hold on a second. Take a breather. I'll keep you on the line. You know there are laws already in the books, but I will tell you, and I agree with you 100%, not 99, 100%, that far too often the laws that are already on the books get held up in bureaucracy. And I think that bureaucracy needs to be removed, absolutely.
Well, we need something more specific, something just for policemen to let them know, hey, we got a watchful eye on you. And I think that 2% or 1% of bad police that are out there are going to think twice before they do something.
I would agree with that.
Because Breonna Taylor is dead, Sandra Bland is dead, and even more black women are dead because they got killed by the police.
Absolutely.
It's unconscionable, and we can't wait.
Okay, but let's get it back. Okay, Daryl, get it back on the. Get it back though to the topic. Get it back to what we're talking about with it being in sports. Again, those things. Absolutely, the voice needs to be there for those issues. And you and I, two divergent backgrounds. I'm considering. I'm just going to assume that we agree on the idea that new legislation and new regulations need to be in place completely. But also, I don't know if we agree or not that when I'm there to watch a football game, I'm there to watch a football game.
Okay. But see, here's the thing.
Okay.
You're there to watch a football game, but somebody's blood was spilled. And we can't have a little bit of tolerance to correct this problem. Then
Daryl, it's not the idea of tolerance. I'm being told today, and I think what a lot of people are getting into is the fact is that you can't watch. Have you watched the NBA games during the postseason?
I watch them here and there.
Okay, well, if you watch them, the line of activism in sports has been totally blurred. And that's during games, even. Even during games.
That's true.
And to me, Daryl, I'm all for a show.
Something accomplished. And it's to the people that keep changing the subject away from what it is.
No, Daryl.
Like,
Daryl, when
Kaepernick kneeling wasn't about him kneeling.
Daryl,
it was about people getting killed.
Daryl, we're not going to legislate Colin Kaepernick again because Colin Kaepernick is a guy who celebrates Castro. So to me, we're not re-legislating that.
Out with the bathwater.
He celebrates Castro. He wears pig socks. I got a brother who was a cop for 28 years. And you know what? My brother had a perfect record leaving his job. I don't want somebody walking around. Guess what, Daryl? Listen to me now. I listen to you now. Listen to me. I don't want someone walking around on an NFL field wearing pig socks. I don't want somebody at a microphone of an NFL thing celebrating Castro while he lectures the NFL and he lectures America. He knows nothing about Castro. He knows nothing about Che. He knows nothing about the dirtbags that are responsible for deaths of tens of thousands of people. And he's going to lecture sports fans. He's not educated enough on the subject matter. So we're not re-legislating Kaepernick. That is not a topic we're on today. I appreciate your call. We had a good exchange. Let's see what Michael in Nebraska has to say. Michael, you're on the John Kincaid Show. Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Michael. What's up, buddy?
I'm just nervous that you're going to cut me off, but I have 50 seconds to say my piece.
No, you got plenty of time.
Right, because Mr. Kincaid, I don't think you're responsible for your privilege, but you absolutely have the privilege, and that can be.
Well,
based
tell me
on
what my
question.
Tell me what it is. Just tell me what it is.
And sir, I don't know your life, but this is what I would ask. You
no, Michael, Michael, Michael. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait. You just told me that I have got it. So tell me what it is, because I need to know, because other people have different definitions for what it is. So because guess what? You may tell me something and I may agree with you 100%. So tell me what it is.
Okay. Whether you agree or not, I'm just going to say this. You answer me one question. Name one disadvantage.
No, wait a minute, Michael. I just asked you. You just said something, and you made a definitive statement about me and my life. So I'm asking you to just tell me. I asked you for an explanation about what you just said. Tell me what it is, because guess what, Michael? We may agree on it.
That's what I'm trying to say, but
no, you're not. You're asking me a question. You said you know. You told me that so you know that I'm privileged. So tell me about my privilege. Tell me about my upbringing. Tell me about me. Tell me about the things I've overcome in life. Tell me about the challenges I've had to face.
Okay, that's somewhat of a trick question because I don't know you other than I listen to your program. And what I'm saying is this, sir. What I'm saying is this: if you just give me a breath, Name one disadvantage you have from being
now
white.
Now you see it, and Michael, again, you're doing it. You're telling me I'm privileged. I ask you, tell me about it. Tell me what it is, and you can't answer me.
Well,
you're not even answering me.
Okay.
No, you're asking me questions. You're asking me questions.
That you clearly don't want to answer because...
No, because, Michael, you're making a statement that you know that I'm privileged. Guess what?
You're born tell me about
I'm born with it. Tell me about my life.
I cannot tell you about your life other than you don't allow people
Michael,
to speak on
then
your
you
platform.
Don't know me. Michael, thank you for your call because you're doing the double talk. You're doing double talk. You don't know me because of the color of my skin. I don't know you because of the color of your skin. And this is the danger we've got now. We're just willing to look at people and say, by the color of their skin, we understand. Guess what? Michael could have had a conversation with me there. He could have said, John, you are privileged because you never have to worry about the cops pulling you over on the road just for driving while white. And guess what I would have said to Michael? You're 100% correct. I've never once been behind the wheel and worried about driving while white. So Michael would have been 100% correct. He could say to me, you've had better opportunities in schooling, potentially. You've had better opportunity. There could be things that we could agree on 100%. But when you just label people and then you can't have a conversation and can't back up what you're saying blatantly about them, you can't converse. Let's try Darren in Michigan. Darren, what's going on, brother?
Hey, John. It's a first-time caller. I want to tell you I've listened to you many times when I've been starting half marathons early in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
So I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Darren. Appreciate it, man.
I love half marathons.
Yeah,
thank you.
Oof.
Thank you, John, for actually saying what many, and I would even argue probably most of America thinks, and that is that, and I just want to emphasize it, and then I want to talk about the Cowboys, but,
sure.
You know, you cannot tell a person what their life is like based on the color of their skin. I thought that's what we've been told for decades.
I mean, seriously.
African Americans.
And Darren,
right?
And Darren, what it is like, Darren, Michael wouldn't know, because he couldn't even tell me, wouldn't know anything about my upbringing. He wouldn't know that I am married into a family, a multiracial family. He wouldn't know. He wouldn't know anything about my background. He just assumes that he knows. He would think, well, he's a talk show host and he goes to Disney World and Vegas, so he must be rich. So he's got money,
right.
And he might not know that I grew up in a shared a room with my brother that was smaller than my master closet today. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, well, he knows nothing about my background and who I am, but he's basing it on my skin color. And it drives me crazy. I think it's ignorant for anybody to do that in this country. Anyone to do
and
it.
That's called the definition of racism right there. That's what that is. But you
it's,
know,
it's assumptions.
There are people that don't seem to understand that. And I'm from northern Michigan. I grew up, my dad was a poor farmer. Like you said, I mean, there are parts of the country, look at people who live in Appalachia, northern Michigan, who have some of the highest poverty rates in the country. Isabella County, which is in northern Michigan, has the highest poverty rate in the nation. You going to tell me that all these people who happen to have a white skin color automatically have a white privilege? I mean,
I don't think the labels, Darren. I want to get to your Cowboys point, but I don't think any of these labels help the conversation at all. And that's what I was trying to get Michael to do in Nebraska is have a conversation. He couldn't. He was just going to ask me questions. He's making assumptions. But tell me about your Cowboys.
You know, I got to disagree with the last caller. Well, first of all, I can't understand at all why you'd be living in Texas and be a Lions fan. I live in Michigan, and I've been a Cowboys fan.
Well, wait a minute, though. I've lived in Atlanta for 25 years, and I'm a sportscaster, but the Philadelphia Eagles are my obsession. So,
that's
true. It can happen. It can happen.
Yeah, no, I'm just joking with that. But anyways, you know, I mean, the Cowboys have reloaded on their offensive line. They drafted the kid out of Wisconsin as their new center. Yeah, Lyle Collins is injured right now, but he's going to come back. And I just don't see people saying, you know, they don't have the offensive line they used to have. My only concern, and I think that McCarthy is a definite upgrade over Garrett, but my concern is what happened to Mike McCarthy's Packers many years ago when they played the Seahawks and they basically folded over and just let him run over them in the fourth
quarter. I'll tell you this. McCarthy's an up. I appreciate your call. I got to run. McCarthy is an upgrade. There's no question. And any fan who tries to tell you differently is just, they're bluffing. McCarthy's an upgrade. But what I would say is that the Cowboys, how in the world do the Cowboys allow the Eagles to beat them in critical situations like last December? I mean, Carson Wentz, for the last month of the season, was throwing to practice squad players. The loaded Cowboys come into Philadelphia, and Wentz totally outplays Dak. How does that happen? That can't happen. It can't happen. Can't happen again. All right, the bubble in the NBA has been highly successful, and three of four teams have already punched their ticket into the conference finals. Only one game left to go. Out of the Boston Globe, Gary Washburn knows all about the Celtics, but believe me, he knows the game. I want to ask him about bubble life and also what can we expect in the conference finals. Coming your way next, John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. He loves being right. We just wish he was more often. Now back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I've spent so much time in my adult life in Walt Disney World because my wife and daughter, it is their favorite place on earth. They love it so much. So I can only imagine what Gary Washburn's life has been like in the bubble. From the Boston Globe, NBA national writer, joining us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's a small world after all, Gary. I mean, I can only think is that how has life in Orlando been for you, and how difficult is it?
Once you get used to everything, the routine, the medical stuff, daily testing, it's actually not bad. You know, it's nothing to complain about. You're in kind of a basketball convention here. There's games, obviously, every day, players, access. So work-wise, it's great. There's certain things, you know, not being able to leave the campus and the limitations is can be taxing at times. But you know you're witnessing history, right? You know
sure.
That this is never going to happen again, likely. I mean, who knows? It could happen next season. But you know this is likely not to happen, and you know that you'll have something that you can remember for the rest of your life and write about, and people will always be curious about life in the bubble. So it's something that you couldn't pass up as a reporter, and so I have no issues with it. And it's been obviously just totally fascinating, almost things going on every day.
Now, you've talked to players, though, that I know have expressed concerns about, you know, being away from family, not being again to be a part of, what's going on in life otherwise. How has that been for them? And can you relate a little bit to what they're saying?
Of course. I mean, you're not with your family or, you know, your loved ones, and you're talking to them through maybe FaceTime, and you're trying to just, you know, let them know that you're going to be home soon. And hopefully they're following things so they know that you're down here and that things are progressing. The season, the playoffs now are at the verge of, you know, the conference finals, so we got two rounds left. So, yeah, the players, it's hard. I mean, it's only so much video games and fishing and golf you can do. You know, you can't go to your favorite restaurant. You're not in the city in which you live.
Sure.
So you're missing those types of things. You're missing time with your family. And now the players are allowed to have family members down here. Now that there's five teams left, there's about to be four in the next couple of days or whatever. But, you know, it's a little bit more freedom for some of these guys in terms of having family here and being able to do more things with their family as opposed to just doing the FaceTime stuff. So it's getting better. But, of course, I mean – you know, not everybody was going to respond well to this. You know, there's some people that were going to be fine and okay with being away and in kind of a basketball bunker, and there are going to be others who suffered and who just weren't comfortable with this.
Gary, when you get under the hood, I'm sure you're already looking at it with that Heat matchup versus the Celtics. What your first thoughts on the Heat and the amazing story they've been, and how ready are the Celtics this year to be able to answer the challenge of trying to get to that NBA Finals?
Yeah, Miami playing great basketball, probably the best team in the bubble. Before all this whole thing started, I said Miami was a team to watch, not necessarily picking them to go to the conference finals, but this was the year. The Heat have kind of prepared their team, and, you know, they got Jimmy Butler, and they signed, you know, they trade away Justice Winslow, get Jay Crowder, and they, you know, they get Andre Iguodala. Like, they've made their lined and stacked their team for a run. And there was no excuses. They were healthy now, and so they you know, shut up a lot of critics who thought that they might even lose in the first round to Indiana. And they're playing good basketball. They can spread the floor. They can shoot. I'm really impressed with Bam Adebayo. I mean, this is a guy who at Kentucky, I just thought he was kind of like a Dwight Howard type of dude.
Sure.
He can just dunk around the basket and get a bunch of rebounds, but he can handle the ball. He can kind of play, run the offense a little bit through him. He can pass. So he's been impressive. And who, you know, you can say no more about Jimmy Butler and his leadership. You know, not the most well-liked guy around the league in terms of some of the teams he's been, but he's a winner. And he's hard on his guys, and those guys have responded. So the Heat, very dangerous team. The Celtics, I think the good thing for them was game one isn't today. It's Tuesday. They got a couple of days to rest and prepare. They have had their way with Miami. They took both regular season meetings, including in Miami, but that doesn't mean anything. They've got to get ready for those shooters. But I do think that the Toronto series taught Boston a lot. I mean, Kyle Lowry was a handful to deal with. Serge Ibaka played well. Fred VanVleet. So I think the Celtics feel like, hey, we played probably the best team in the East over seven games. I think they're ready for Miami.
If I was to make an assumption, and it is just an assumption on my part just for this conversation, that the Clippers are going to advance past the Nuggets and we're going to have Clippers, Lakers, and we'll have the Celtics and the Heat. If those were the four teams we're talking about, based on what you know today, how would you stack them 1 through 4?
Boy, you got to say the Lakers first. I just think they're playing well now, even though sometimes they lose focus. Talent-wise, the Clippers, and I think you might have to say maybe a tie for third, Celtics and Heat.
Okay.
Because I don't want to say the Heat's the fourth team, because the Heat's playing well. I mean, they've got everything together now. They're finally healthy. So they're a team that I don't think anybody really wants to play over a seven-game series. But I will say that the both L.A. teams have just shown to be vulnerable. And, you know, it all depends on – you know, I just don't think Houston and Portland, in terms of the Lakers, were the teams that were really going to catch the Lakers off guard in terms of taking them to six or seven games. I think that they were just more talented than both of those teams, and Houston just, I don't know what their approach was over the last four games of the series. The Clippers seem to also have lapses of falling asleep like they did in Game 5 against the Nuggets, where they could have finished it off, had some rest, and now they're in a Game 6 where – if they lose today, I mean, and
then it's a crapshoot, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and Denver's already come back from 3-1 in the bubble. So, I just think both teams are talented. It will be an epic series if they meet, but you just hope that I think they've been so focused on facing each other that they've kind of lost track sometimes of the road to get there.
Gary, I hope you're considering, like, maybe a book someday about life in the bubble. Have you been taking notes on all the things that went on behind the scenes?
Yeah, it's been fascinating, honestly, to have so much access to the Flares, to see things. There's a lot going on here in terms of, and not bad stuff, but just you know,
sure.
You got team officials, you got game officials, you got NBA employees all in the same place, all in the same campus, you know. And we're all going through the same thing. Everybody wearing a mask. Everybody gets tested for COVID every day. Like, it's just such an unusual situation that you'll never encounter. So, yeah, I mean, this is definitely something to write about.
What are you dying to eat when you get home?
Honestly, I could go get some Thai food or some Chinese food, like any type of Asian food, like something international. Like
that's awesome.
Had enough chicken. Had enough. Had enough beef for a while. International.
There you go, Gary. I love your work, and I appreciate you making time for me this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Opposition against the doomsday media. This is the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We're going to round out today with Barry Manilow a little bit later on before the top of the hour. I'm a fan of this song. I can tell you that much. Because we made it to today. We'll get to that coming up. We made it. Against all expectations, against all the doomsday media, against all the people who told you that it couldn't happen. When I open up today with the Big Ten, going to have a vote potentially as soon as tomorrow about fall sports. I believe it was Roberta Flack. Too much, too little, too late. It's too late, Big Ten. You got caught up in the politics of it, flat out. Got caught up in the politics of it. It's too late. They're not holding up the national college football playoff for you. And it's a lesson to everyone in all around the country. And it wasn't the coaches and players that didn't want to play. It was a bunch of bureaucrats who have other agendas. And the bottom line is this. Don't be afraid to fail. There was no science that told you it's absolutely too reckless to even try. That's a bunch of BS. If that science existed, they wouldn't be having high school football in Ohio. If that science existed, they wouldn't be able to go about normal life other places. With the greatest protocols in the world set up for you, you can at least try. Does it mean you're going to succeed? Hell no. It could fail. But I think we've come to the point where a lot of people have a lot to say about what other people, what's good for other people. What's good for, you know, college athletes? Those they're not smart enough to make the decision for themselves. If the Big Ten votes to come back and have a season where they're playing for nothing, they're not going to be in the college football playoff. Not going to be part of the real season. I don't know what they're doing. Knight in Indianapolis joins us. What a cool name, Knight. Welcome to the show. How are you, buddy? I picked your Colts to win the division. By the way.
Oh. Well, that would be nice.
But, if it happens, we'll see.
But I'm a wait and see kind of person.
Sure, it's the way it works. What do you got for me today, buddy?
I got the about the privilege.
Yes.
Now, nothing is ever 100% because I would say when you talk about white privilege, in my mind, I would say it's for 90% of the whites. And because there's probably 10% blacks that probably have it better than a lot of whites, and there's probably 10% of whites that have it worse than a lot of blacks. But there's three assumptions I'm going to make, and if I'm wrong on this, then you can let me know. But this is what three assumptions I'm going to make about your life, and then you can tell me if I'm wrong.
All right, that's good. I like that.
Okay. First, I want to say that when you growing up, you believe that education can get you ahead in life.
No question, and my mom and dad drilled it into my head.
Okay.
My dad was, but go on, I answer that question.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely, and that was drilled into my head.
Okay, and the second one, did you personally know family members or good family friends with either good career jobs and or that own land?
Own land?
Yeah, either they had good jobs that you know they could retire from, or they own land that they knew they would have.
How about if I said neither?
Neither. Okay. And then the third thing is not growing up thinking that Well, before I get 18, one of my good friends is going to die from violence. And
you're absolutely
correct.
I don't
know if I'm going to live to be 25 or not.
Absolutely correct. And I never, ever, what you just said, the third one, I never, ever, that never crossed my mind. The only kind of violence that crossed my mind is a lot of kids from my area get into the mob.
Yeah.
And so if they were getting, if they were going to end up a victim of violence, it was because of their life choices, not because of a different kind of criminal activity, if you know what I mean.
Right. But I would say for if two of those three you fit.
But Knight, here's the thing is, though,
whether you're black or white.
But here's the thing. Uh-huh. Why are we dealing with assuming things about people of other races? Isn't that inherently racist?
Well, it's inherently racist to not talk about race because we've been had 400 years of
No, I'm not talking about
racism.
Not talking about it. You and I just had a very pleasant exchange and back and forth on that. What I'm talking about is appreciate your call. What I'm talking about is that just assuming that we know things about people because of the color of their skin. I think that defines that's a definition. Believing the color of a skin defines somebody. Believing that, I don't understand it. I really don't. But that was a good exchange there. Mitch in New Jersey gets in. Mitch, what are you doing, buddy?
Morning, John. Thanks for my call. I want to talk about the Clippers and the Rams game and the Rams
okay.
in particular. But I'll throw in my two cents in this politics, and I think it'd be more pleasure. They always say to have a good sense of humor.
Yes.
When you said driving while black, I thought of that movie. That comes from a movie. That's the first time I heard that expression. It was in the movie National Security. Yeah, Martin Lawrence getting beat up.
I hear it from Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq. So he's the one who brought that, and he said, "John, it's a real thing. It's a real thing in a lot of parts of the country."
And my wife always drills me that I was raised wrong. That I'm a mutt, right? I'm half
yes.
Jewish. My folks are from Russia. My mom's from Colombia, so I'm dark-skinned. But my wife's always saying, you know, you think people, all white people are nice. If they smile at you, they must be nice. And you think you're white when people don't look at you as white. And
all
guess I was sheltered. I'm okay.
There we go. There we go. I got to run. You're running out of your time here. You're going on too long, dude. I got to run along. I would just say it's a dangerous thing where people assume they know about people and know about upbringings and know about how people lived, how they were raised. I just think it's an assumption. And I think assuming it because of somebody's skin color is really, really dangerous. Really dangerous. I have a good friend from college who, African-American, who, when we got to Temple University in Philly, he would always laugh because his upbringing, and we would joke around about it. He'd go, "Your upbringing was far different than mine." And his was actually much better, much better, much better high profile of living, much better thing. But and it was something we would joke about with each other. Reggie in South Carolina. Reggie, you're probably going to get the last word today. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right, Reg. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I would say I agree with you 100%. You know, there's an old saying about assuming. If you assume, you make a you-know-what out of you and me.
Yeah, it's a bad news bears. Yes.
Yeah. So I agree with you 100% on that. But I also want to say that it's not about privilege. It's about injustice. And you don't want to assume what someone else has gone through, you know, how they live their life. But it's about the injustices that that's going on.
And you are a smart man.
Thank you. Tell my wife that.
Well, she doesn't listen. My wife doesn't listen to me. So how am I going to get your wife to listen to you? I mean, come on. Now. You're asking me to work miracles here. You're a smart man.
Oh, yeah.
Because you see, the thing is, we should all be able to bond over the injustice part.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We should all be able to bond over that. We should all be able to agree on that. There shouldn't be debate shows on that. You know what
exactly.
I mean? There shouldn't be. But I would also say is that we got to get past, because to me, I'm tired of being labeled by my skin color. And I'm just being very honest with you. I'm tired of being labeled by my skin color. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, the income level that I live now, the echelon of life that I live now, mm-hmm. people make assumptions about me all the time. And I'm like, dude, you know nothing about how I got.
Definitely wrong.
I've worked, some of you, but you and me, I've worked three jobs minimum 20 some years of my life. I work, I mean, I bust my backside. I work in and I work three jobs now in order to, because to me, I love work. I love what I do and I get to do it in different venues. But the thing is, it's like people will assume, oh, look what you get. Look what you have. Look what you have. And I'm like, don't tell me what I have because I started with nothing. I started with nothing. Mom and dad didn't, you know, I never went to bed hungry. I never went to bed where I didn't have clothes. But I didn't grow up, like, I mean, I grew up, that was my leg up in life. And I applaud my parents for what they did for me. And I appreciate your call today. You're a very, very good caller there. I appreciate that. All right. We're going to give you a first edition of my luscious locks. My hair is amazing. And I'm going to brag a little bit. The sheen coming off this salt and pepper hair is just extreme this morning. Because an NFL season is beginning, so let me quickly get to my luscious locks of the week. I'll take you to Atlanta, where the Atlanta Falcons host the Seattle Seahawks, and that's where I do my show from. I am not a Falcons fan, though. I'm an Eagles fan. Am I betting on the Eagles today? No, I am not. I'm not going to lay those 5 points. But am I betting on the Falcons? Yes, I am. I will take the Atlanta Falcons plus 1.5. I do not believe the Falcons' Falcons' offensive line will be exploited by that Seattle defensive front. And I think that's a weakness of the Falcons. If you can get to that offensive line, I don't believe the Seahawks' defensive line can do it. And I think the offense is going to be ahead of the defense early on this season. Falcons plus 1.5 against the Seahawks. Seahawks tend to start a little slow. I think they will. Lions today taking on the Bears. I'll lay 2.5 points and I'll take the Detroit Lions. Not only because Matthew Stafford, I see him in the offseason. He lives pretty much a bike ride away from my house. No, I'm just going to bet on the Lions because I think the Lions are the better team. Yes, I think the Lions are a better team than the Bears. Take the Lions, lay the 2.5. And yes, Matt Rhule was my coach at Temple University of my alma mater. Love Matt Rhule. One thing I know about Matt Rhule's teams, it takes a little while to get rolling. The Raiders come to town, and John Gruden's going to lay the hammer down. They'll win by like 7-10. Take the Raiders, lay the 2.5 points. So, Falcons plus 1.5, Lions minus 2.5, Raiders minus 2.5. Those are your week one luscious locks. And I appreciate you being a part of it every single week. Now, Anthony's talked me out of something. He said that, you know, I said if I fell 6 games below 500 anymore, that I was going to stop it. I was going to stop doing it. And I would just quit doing this. But that's it. That's it. I'm not going to quit. If I end up terrible this year, I'm going to end up terrible. The last 2 years, I will only give you a warning. Last 2 years, I was horrendous into late October. And I dug myself out of a hole both years and got hot towards the end of the year, getting it back to 500. So, and 500's terrible. That means you lose money. So, what I would say to you is this. Don't trust my picks ever. Seriously. Oh, man. Do not, and I mean it, do not trust. Do not trust. Because I'm going to make lots of mistakes in the course of the year. Okay, let me tell you a few things as we wrap up the show today. I thought we had great conversation today. And I love the listeners of this program. And I love the fact that you patronize this show. I love the fact that we can get into some uncomfortable conversations and that we can respect each other about it. I love that we can get into sports and we can debate our sports. And we're going to be doing that throughout the course of the year. Thank you for respectful debate. And thank you for respectful conversation. We get an NFL season underway today. I couldn't be more excited for it. And Barry Manilow, I think he said it best. We made it. Just let it soak in. All the people who told you this day wasn't coming, who told you you weren't going to have NFL football. Looks like we made it. All the people who said, why are we even trying? This is going to be impossible. And they're not doing a bubble. How are they going to do that? After watching baseball for weeks. We made it. We did. We made it. And it was a struggle. Thanks to the Florida Marlins going out to a steakhouse. It was a struggle. Thanks to the St. Louis Cardinals. and the Cleveland pitchers. But guess what?
Looks like we made it.
The NFL season begins. I hope you have a joyous day. I hope this week is better than any week you've had since March. Because you know what? Looks like we made it. And I will tell you consistently, positivity wins over negativity every time. Never be afraid to fail.
Yes, we can.
That's how we got today. That's how we got here. We made it. We made it. Great job, Anthony Pierno, who has been by my side the entire pandemic, and the entire crew here at CBS Sports Radio. Kevin Dexter, great job. And we look forward to having you join us next week for the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Stick with CBS Sports Radio all day. We made it. Have a great week, everybody.